Okay, this is not an outdoors podcast, but just to let those of you who are interested know, I got skunked in Michigan on steelhead. Couldn't catch a damn one. Had a few bites. Had one on the hook. Had a few on the hook. Lost them. They just came out of the water, shook their head. One wrapped itself around the leader. I thought I had him, and then it started pulling funny, and I knew something was wrong, and it had wrapped itself around the leader on leaps. So, Johnny Two Rods got skunked. It happens. That's why they call it fishing, not catching. But it still was a great time. I got to spend time with some great fishermen. Funny guys. Guys who just made my weekend. We ate well. We drank well. Told stories. It was superb. It was a vacation. It was a great vacation. I vacated from my brain, from my mind, from all the stuff and crap that's in Chicago, in the world of politics. Thinking about vacations, though, there was one I was on years ago. Disney World in Florida. We took the kids. They were 5 years old. I only wanted to go one day. You know, you'd get off, you wait 3 hours for a ride, and you get off, and they're selling you $30 jars of Winnie the Pooh peanut butter or whatever. It's a ripoff. But the kids liked it at first. It was 105, 110 degrees in Florida, 100% humidity or thereabouts. And they see Merlin walking away in the crowd. Merlin! They knew him by his purple hat, his peaked hat, and his purple cloak. Long white beard. They chased after him, and he disappeared, and they came back. And there where they had run away, they came back, and they saw the sword in the stone. And immediately they began pulling at the sword. They pulled so hard, each one, about half an hour, and they take turns. Having a five-year-old do something consistently for half an hour is, well, it's a miracle, right? But they did it. They strained, they pulled, they tried to remove the sword from the stone to become King of England. And it wouldn't budge. And the sweat poured off them, and their coat, their clothes became soaking wet with sweat. Betty and I finally stepped in before the stone broke them and told them that we'd try again. And we tried to distract them with other things. And then they ran back to the sword and began pulling again. That was Disney then. What is Disney now? Well, I don't know, because I would never go back. My children are men now. They're coming fishing with me in Michigan. They don't care for Disney World. But there are many parents who have younger children. I wonder if they're going to take their kids now that Disney is woke, now that Disney is trying to thwart the will of the people of Florida who just don't want their kids in kindergarten, first and second grade to be taught about gender dysphoria or whatever they're trying to teach them or indoctrinate them with. Makes me think that Disney doesn't like being in business, or families are problematic for Disney. And that's okay. You make your choices, you sell your product, and you figure it out. And if people don't buy it, you have to change your ways. And I don't think people are going to buy it. I wouldn't go. I'd never, if I had grandchildren, I would never take them there. Not anything to do with Disney. That's their choice. And not being a part of it is my choice. And it's your choice too. So however you choose, God bless you and enjoy yourselves. Today on the Chicago Way, Jeff Carlin and I have plenty of things to talk about. Lori Lightfoot is going to be back in court, or at least lawyers for Lori Lightfoot will be back in court on Monday, trying to squash her deposition in the famous Biggest Dickus Fallus Maximus case involving the Christopher Columbus statues. The Supreme Court nominee who can't decide or tell us what a woman is, can't define a woman, is going to be confirmed. And Barack Obama, as I record this, is going back to the White House, probably to try to stiffen Joe Biden's spine on various matters. And it's Mootza Day. I come back from vacation from my fishing trip, and I'm limbering my hand because as soon as I'm done with this, it's time to bestow the Mootza of the month. And where are you? With Lori Lightfoot trying to keep her bragging about her member size, her phallus maximus, undercover so the public won't see. You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
Look at this. The Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Okay, Jeff Carlin. The squeaky chair is squeaking as I sit, and I've got the iced venti latte, which, remember when Jake used to hate that when I drank the latte because
except
of the microphone?
Right, I think you were a Dunkin' guy in those days.
Dunkin', yeah. And but here's the thing. The squeaky chair became part of the discussion at the fishing trip.
Did it really?
Yeah, because Steve the pilot came over to pick me up. All my gear was outside. And he told everybody that Johnny Two Rods didn't want him inside his house, inside my house, because he knew that he would take out the WD-40 and spray the squeak out of the chair.
That's good to be loved.
Yeah.
And appreciated.
But I kind of liked it. I don't know. It's a thing now. I didn't like it at first, but it squeaks. So you can hear it. And, you know, I don't know. Should we get rid of it? Should I sit on an ottoman, maybe? Like Turkish Pasha?
Yeah, there you go. Or a beanbag chair. Beanbag chair is always good.
But then you're sitting back. You're not perked up with your diaphragm so you can project. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I think we'll stick with the squeaky chair for now and let it ride.
Well, I sat in the boat chair because I didn't want to go in the water and it was freezing. I mean, the snow was sleeting in our faces.
Ooh.
It was just so beautiful up there on the river that shall not be named, even though some Jack Ford may have named it, but I didn't name it.
Right.
And, yeah, so steelhead are big rainbow trout. They go out into the lake. They get real big and eating, you know, minnows and so forth. I mean, they become gigantic. I had a couple on the hook. One I fought for a few seconds, actually what seemed like an eternity. and it jumped, leaped out of the water, and then rolled somehow in the leader, and lost it. So,
it's been working on that move for years, trying to get off the hook.
He's like, yeah, once I see that guy from Chicago, I'm going to leap. But you know, it's amazing, Jeff. Speaking that you're a man of science, they can see.
Sure.
From the water, they can see you standing in the boat. They can see an eagle, you know, on the bank. They're very crafty, piscatorially.
Yes, they've developed a jelly in front of their irises that, like, it compensates for the density of water, so they can see beyond the water. Ours are too thin because we've developed to see in air, which is much thinner than water. So. There's your science, Phil.
Check you out, Mr. Science.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
It's Mutsa of the month time. After I'm done with the podcast, I'm going to bestow the Mutsa. And I just have to say, I don't know who's going to win yet because I haven't really gone over all the votes and the nominees. The media is obviously nominated.
Perennial, yeah.
Well, no, because CNN finally discovered that the Hunter Biden laptop was real. let's see. And then, of course, Ketanji, the Supreme Court nominee.
Right.
What is it? Her name again? Ketanji Brown Jackson. Can't decide, can't tell us what a woman is. That seems to be
She's
rife with Mutsa possibilities because of the politics, right? She can't say what it is because it would violate.
Because she's not a biologist.
And you've got Disney, but can we start locally?
Sure.
There's nothing.
All politics are local, right, John?
Well, what about, what's going on? Lori Lightfoot's film office, the Chicago film office director of the film office in Chicago, was beaten by three men trespassing inside his parked vehicle outside his home. They beat the hell out of him. He's now in intensive care.
Yeah.
Kwame Amoaku said on his Facebook post, "This morning was attacked, beaten, and my car stolen by three kids. Thanks to all who have reached out. I'm in the ICU. I'm going to be okay." Yeah, okay, Kwame, that sounds it's nice, and God bless you, and hope you feel better in this terrible what happened. But I got to think, is there any better advertisement for Lori Lightfoot than her own people, her own administration members being attacked and beaten on the streets?
Yeah, it's been a rough march. It was a rough march for Mayor Lightfoot. I mean, somehow her manhood became part of a headline. You have this story that kind of closed things out that, oh, by the way, one of her trusted officials got beat up by a bunch of teens. I mean, these are kids who beat him up. And don't forget, this is also the same month where we learned that in a city that's struggling with crime, the mayor has a 70 officer crew that protects her property and her interests, I guess. I mean, we used to joke that when Rahm would come through, he had the Praetorian Guard, right? These giant, like, cut muscular cop guys who would just like sweep through the room or sweep through the studio, or it's just they were always moving, they always knew where they were going, they kind of worked as one unit. And then that somehow now there's 70 officers involved in this. I don't understand. That's a lot of manpower in a city that's struggling with violence. Come on.
Well, it's not only city struggling with violence, but people who are victims of violence have to wait. Like an Uber driver was robbed the other
day.
Had to wait 45 minutes for a cop to show up after he was robbed. But she has 70 Praetorian Guard, not including others that are assigned to her detail.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the secret Lori Strike Force, right. Phallus Maximus Strike Force.
So, I mean, it's if anybody's, if, yeah, and if anybody's should be ending in, or begin the contention rather for a Mutsu this month, I gotta believe it's Mayor Lightfoot. I mean, let's even take it out to what's happening beyond March, but it certainly was brought to the forefront with the whole Phallus Maximus debacle. But the statues, I mean, that was the whole issue. That was what we got from Fran, was that these, not from Fran, rather, that's what we got in that story, that she was, you know, trying to bully the Italians into letting her steal their statue.
The dramatic reading of Jeff Carlin, reading Lori Lightfoot's part in this priapic drama, was beyond compare, Jeff. And I would nominate you for an Oscar, and then Lori Lightfoot could come up on the stage and
slap
bitch slap you a little bit, you know, like fake bitch slapping.
Right.
I know Jeff's now marking the to take the B out. But she'll be in the issue will be back in court on Monday, Jeff Carlin,
mm-hmm.
when lawyers for the city and the park district will try to seal the deposition that she still hasn't taken
right.
on that subject. You know, like, did you really say under oath, Mayor Lightfoot, did you really say that
mm-hmm.
You have the biggest member, more even bigger than
all the Italians?
Than the Italians? I mean, that is really boastful, isn't it? Then she's bigger than all the Italians. I knew that she, I thought she had one, but I didn't know it was bigger than all the Italians of Chicago. And now they're trying to seal it,
which is just
bizarre. So that, I mean, we won't see it,
right? And that makes me so mad, because again, this is you work for us, Mayor Lightfoot. You're a public servant there.
Transparency. So, come right. on, we want to see it. We don't want to see it.
Right.
We want to see. I definitely don't want to see it, but we want to see evidence of how you know,
comport yourself.
How you, I mean, comport yourself in a sworn deposition.
And it's not like it's her first rodeo. I mean, we saw the tapes of depositions from Madigan in the past. And they're very smart. They're very tactful. You're a lawyer. You know how to work around a deposition without, you know, if someone asks you a question that's out of line, there are plenty of ways not to answer it. Right. So show us that you're fantastic and can outthink people and do that. But you won't, because there's an election coming up and, you know, that's how it works. We can't see what you're doing at a job in case you're doing a crappy job, so we don't know about it. I mean,
Mayor Phallus Maximus, if you're listening, and I know you are because you love this show, if you want to give me a big hug, just like you used to do back in the old days when I supported you, you're welcome to be at the court at 9 a.m. Monday. Just ask your lawyers where to go. And you could give me another big hug, because I'd love to see you. So I can't believe that this is the mayor of Chicago.
I know.
But, you know, look, when you have all this violence and it's happening all the time, and then she comes out with a plan like based on the Joe Perillo issue, when Joe Perillo's store was robbed.
High-end luxury cars in the heart of downtown.
Yeah, and then she called him an idiot.
She called
him an idiot.
So they needed to do more to protect themselves.
The people, yeah.
The shop owners need to do
more
to protect their businesses. But then flash forward to all those business owners also happen to be movers and shakers in this city. Oh, what's the Lightfoot's plan now? Let's reimburse some residents and businesses who do those things that I said they should have been doing in the first place to prevent crime. My bad.
I mean, look, people are leaving every day. U-Hauls are going out of the city, and I know why. But keep talking that way. It's
so backwards. It's like, well, we're not doing, can't do a good job, or we've made a mess of things. So here, have some money because you need to protect yourself, and we can't do it. I mean, that's
right.
Essentially what it is. I mean, I got it. It's probably, it would help. It's probably going to make it easier for police to track these rings of people. But I guarantee you that the three kids who beat up her chief of film or whatever, those guys, you know, they're not going to be impacted. I mean, those guys are having fun doing it because they knew they could get away with it.
Well, I think they were seen.
Yeah, they're on tape.
Right, they're on tape on a shopping spree.
Yeah. And that's those cameras were already there, already paid for, and yet the crime still happened. So good luck to us all.
Well, she endorsed Kim Fox, and I'll never let her forget it or get away. You endorse Kim Fox. That's where you are. That's what you want. That's what you want for Chicago. And as I keep telling people, when I asked a former Daily, the real Daily, not the idiot stooge son, but the real one, what it means when the Democrats reelected Kim Fox, he said, what it means? What's the message? Get the bleep out. And I find nothing funny about that. I take great umbrage at your laughter, Jeff Carlin.
Uh-oh.
Wow. You with the, you know, you see clearly.
Yeah.
You don't have like film, you know, fish viscosity eyes. You see
right.
In air.
I mean, I just I laugh because you know, it's the fix is in. I mean, it's his beast. He made it and he knows what it's doing. I mean,
you mean she, Lori Lightfoot? Yeah, I don't know what to say.
Well, I mean, the system that it get,
you know what,
Pete, that
you know
Kim what? Elected is
a
Democrat creation. So I the dailies are not, you know, they're to blame just as much as anybody in that regard.
Oh, they're to blame a lot.
Yeah.
But you know what Peter Bella said in a recent column about the 12 commandments on johncastnews.com thing is that I think he said my pronouns are D's, Dems, and Does.
Yeah.
Right.
That's very.
And he's right. Those are my pronouns. Those are my pronouns.
Those.
As well.
Those right. Are them. Yeah. And of course it's another one of these situations where, you know, if we had continued strong, powerful media that could work for, I don't know, the truth and not just whatever clicks and sells, you know, stuff like this would get picked up and wouldn't be buried under the rug. I mean, people aren't going to remember as much. I don't think this stuff when it comes to election time.
Beware, Jeff Carlin, that you talk about the media because you might be singled out by the tiny, angry, tiny fists of corrective actors who will feel like they must correct you.
This is true. I won't wind up at the gridiron dinner anytime soon, that's for sure.
Have you ever been to one?
I haven't, no, but I've certainly, obviously, working in media and news, it's something that I've had to follow the morning after a lot and cut up audio for.
Well, tell the audience of the Chicago Way about the Gridiron Dinner.
I can it to like a dog show. You know, you get dressed, they do your little dance, you make yourself look nice, and you
put on tuxedo like tails, white tie and tails.
Yeah, that's what I mean, and that's what the. The Gridiron Dinner is this group, and who's the group that puts it on? It's not the press club, but it's
the Gridiron Group, whatever they call themselves. Right. It's another media event where the elite blue check media, of which I am one, gather together, wear tails and white tie. Some of them even wear sashes as if they're like, you know, ambassadors or
right.
You see people from, you know, Europeans there with their medals and their sashes on.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone shows up and they mock each other gently.
Yeah.
Although now they had it closed down for 2 years. I had been invited to that several times. And when I went, I would mock it mercilessly because I hate it. I hate the idea. What really bothers me is that not just the conventional wisdom, the lefty horse and other, you know, the usual conventional stuff that comes out of their mouths, but that they would also, journalists would put on skits, musical skits.
Right.
You know, like, as if they were
the jesters in the court.
Yeah, like the laughing jesters would put on musical skits as if they were in some Gilbert and Sullivan musical. And they would sing to their, you know, it was just so embarrassing, especially with the country, the culture and everything devolving. Mm-hmm. To see that is just, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, there's also the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is, you know, a lot of the same stuff. And it's this idea that, you know, I always like to say that there are journalists and then there are, you know, people in media. And people in media are trying to sell you a narrative. Journalists are trying to sell you the truth. And there are guys who I work with, like Chuck Gowdy, for example. Chuck Gowdy, we were at ABLS. We used to try to get Chuck Gowdy to do goofy skits here and there, like have fun with us, use his voice to do like an investigative thing that really wasn't. And he told me, he says, he's like, I appreciate it. I think they're all funny. I'd love to be a part of it, but I'm a journalist and it's a hard job to get people to take you seriously. It's even a harder job to get people to take you seriously if you don't take yourself seriously and you don't protect that ability to be impartial and to be a true journalist. And I always think about that. I mean, why it's the same stuff with, we talked about the last time on the podcast, I think with the Hunter Biden stuff, like, you know, you're the vice president of the country. Yeah. Your son shouldn't be anywhere near any of this crap because if you're not doing something illegal, it sure looks like you're doing something illegal or you're doing something unethical. So you don't do it. The job is enough.
Wait a second. You don't use your son as a bagman in Ukraine and China with Chinese officials who are all supported and part of the Chinese intelligence apparatus? Right. You don't do that?
No.
You don't. What kind of man are you? What are you, a Trump lover? Are you a Putin lover?
No. I'm a realist, John. I'm somebody who knows there's a right way to do things and there's not a right way to do things. And whether it's the wrong way or it's the gray, unethically ambiguous way, I don't care. It's not the right way. That's my take. I mean, that's why I hate these dinners, because it's the same thing. You just, you know, if I get it, you want to have fun. It'll blow off steam, you know, get around and sing some songs and run a piano and call it a day like they used to.
Yeah. You don't have to dress up in costume like and sing to glorify the regime. Mm-hmm. Which is what they're doing. Like, exactly. Yes, we're mocking you gently. Ha ha ha. You know, it's pathetic, pathetic, pathetic.
It really is. It really is.
John. But we don't do that on the Chicago Way. If we're going to mock you, we're going to do it for real, right in your face. Okay? Right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. They're getting mocked here because you did something stupid. And you did it with our tax dollars and our resources. So
I have to
strap in.
Before we go, speaking of strapping in, I want to go back to the Disney thing.
Sure.
Yes, it's the third rail of politics, like kind of like talking about how women of a certain age should wear hose, like when they're 70, maybe. I'm just saying, maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But now we're in a new brave new world where I know I'm going to get killed by Betty for saying that.
Probably.
But we're in a new brave new world where Disney is joining the forces of the wokistan in Florida to basically fight Ron DeSantis, who has pushed through a law, and the Florida legislature has pushed it through, to not teach kindergartners, first graders, or second graders about sex. I don't see why that's so controversial.
Yeah, we always get to these stories about teachers and parents and all that stuff, or parents rather, and kids, and I obviously don't have children, so my perspective is tainted that I don't know what the struggles are. So I don't like to take too much anger towards anybody or angst about this, but I do agree. I mean, this doesn't make sense to me, because businesses like Disney and all businesses, if you're going to go with the prevailing winds, which, and it's capitalism, no surprise there, but you're going to run into these problems, and you're not going to win. I mean, there's just as many people who may not think that this just say gay bill, or as it's called, or don't say gay bill,
but it's not.
No, right.
I don't say it's anything. It's don't say no to get. What is the, how
right?
Does the media characterize it? No gay bill
don't,
or something.
Yeah, don't say
don't
gay.
Say gay. But right. There's not one word, not one mention of the word gay or homosexuality in the legislation.
Not as it passed, that's for sure. And that's the media line that got picked up and run with. Like,
but why does it get picked? Here's my question. Mm-hmm. If it's not in the bill, why do people characterize it that way and relentlessly refer to it? And you'll hear it on the radio, you'll hear it on TV, mm-hmm. where some new so-called neutral journalist or so-called neutral newsreader will say the don't say gay bill passed, or they're protesting the don't say gay bill. Why do they keep saying, using the formulation of the left to characterize it? Why do they do that?
Well, I know why they, what the case they make for doing that is that it's become part of the lexicon at this moment. So it's
type.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's like the cover that they use on it. It's the hot thing. It's if it's trending, you want that click in there, right? You want the phrase in there, especially in the digital world. So there's that piece of it too. But at the end of the day, it fits the boogeyman narrative that, there are groups out there trying to put people, LGBTQ plus whatever people want to go by or however they see themselves. They want to put those people in camps and exterminate them. And well, I'm sure there are lunatics out there that want to, but there are not people working in the halls of Congress that pass bills like that, and in schools and business. Those people aren't. It's few and far between, I'd like to believe. And if I'm wrong, then all this is for naught anyway, and society has collapsed, and we're moments away from the end. So,
which we are. We are the moments away from the end, because this is the end, my friend. It's like I give you the closing. It's the Doors, this mm-hmm. is the end, my friend. Is that Doors?
Yeah. Yep. Jimi Hendrix. Not Jimi Hendrix.
Right.
It's not Jim Morrison.
Jimi Morrison. So there you have it. Another edition of the Chicago Way podcast. And you know what? I'm glad. I'm thinking of two guys, one a media gossip columnist and the other a former colleague, who probably listened to every inch of this thing, waiting for their names to be mentioned. But you know what, guys? Wait. Just wait. It'll come. It'll come and you'll enjoy it. I guarantee it. For now, though, with the fish in the river still beckoning me, with Lori Lightfoot and trying to hide her phallus maximus from the people of Chicago, For the business owners who are told to get more security cameras, and for that poor director of the mayor's film office who was beaten by these thugs and sent into intensive care, and for Jeff Carlin, and for John Cass, and for all of you out there, join us next time, won't you, for another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.